In the name of Jesus. The third and last prediction of the Passion, the fifth Sunday in Lent, Judica, from the Introit, judge me, O God. Who dares to pray such a prayer? Jesus does. Through Lent we have been following him toward Calvary. Our Judica gospel tells of the last stretch of that journey. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Who dares that journey? Jesus does. The disciples hung back in foreboding and fear. They were amazed and they were afraid. And taking the 12 again, 12 is Israel. He who leads them is the Lord of Israel, as did the statement of his presence, the bright cloud, lead Israel its journey to the promised land, entered by way of Jericho. Bartimaeus is given his sight. He sees as the 12 had failed to see. Jesus told the 12, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and scourge him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." The 12 did not get it. They did not see. What blinded them was their lust for power and the fear that they might lose out or lose their lives. First James and John, and then the others, indignant that they might only get a third or fourth place, or even perish the thought, the 12th, the bottom spot. What they were looking for was the top spots and getting in first to get them. At your right hand and at your left. Thus the two brothers together. Let's nab it for the family and keep it there. The fight about who gets the right-hand spot can wait until later, so long as it's one of us. When we see that sort of thing going on, nepotism, influence peddling, heads rolling, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, jostling for the power spot, simony, and its reverse, the top, that is, executive pastors to the highest bidder, and with that size of debt, we simply can't take that man on this call. When we see that sort of thing going on, we are about ready to puke. Jesus does not puke. He is on his way to Jerusalem, and he draws us along with him, which means leaving all that putrid and enslaving stuff behind. How gently he draws them on. You do not know what you are asking. The place is at his right hand and at his left. We know who gets those places. When he is crowned, proclaimed king, and as John says, enthroned, those at his right hand and at his left are those who are crucified with him. All three of them numbered among the transgressors. One of the criminals who hung there with him mocked him, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are getting what we deserve for what we have done, but this man has done nothing wrong. The just for the unjust. He is judged as the one who bears the iniquity of us all. He drinks the cup of God's wrath upon sin, before which he shuddered in Gethsemane. "Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what thou wilt. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When he made himself an offering for sin. Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is Peter preaching in his first epistle. In Gethsemane, Peter also slept, for their eyes were heavy. Mm-hmm. And then he thought that power, a swinging a sword, would help Jesus. At Caesarea Philippi, he spoke for Satan. He wanted no crucified Christ. In today's gospel, he is indignant with the others, at James and John, trying to get in first for the top spots. Jesus has a long way to pull them when he, walking ahead, goes up to Jerusalem. There is death for them in that Lenten journey. Jesus speaks of the cup that is his to drink and his baptism, his death that is his to do. Are you able? We are able. Yes, says Jesus, they will be yours. And that will put an end to your worrying about who sits at the right hand and who at the left. When yours are the cup and the baptism, you will no longer carry on as those who are not mine. Those who are not mine think themselves great by how many people they can push around, get on top of, kata kiri oiousin, lording it over them, laying it on them down from above. Great by how many you can make serve you. That is not where Jesus does his thing. He is at the bottom of the pile. The whole weight of it comes down on him. He is one lump with all sinners. All sin's enslavement he is slave to, judged, damned. Jesus spoke of it as giving his life as a ransom for many. Ransomer is redeemer, goel, and the price, his life. For many, as in Isaiah 53, Jesus speaks his disciples into that many, as he does also when he gives his body to eat and his blood to drink into our mouths this morning. Blood shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Our liturgy follows Luke at this point and says, for you, for the words for you evoke faith. Yes, for me too. Amen, we say, at his giving into us his body and his blood. Those into whom our Lord gives his body and blood, they can pray, judge me, O God. If he tosses you out, he is tossing out the body and blood of his Son, and he cannot do that. He has done the judgment on you when he did the judgment for your sins on Jesus. That death for your sin was given you as yours at your baptism. His cup, his baptism, yours. There was a putting of you to death in your baptism by words and water, and a new you was born, no longer enslaved to sin. If we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no dead, inert stuff that the Lord gives into your mouth this morning, as he forgives and enlivens you with his body and his blood. His body and blood are alive in you in the same way as he spoke of them, when he spoke of them as the ransom for many, for you, not to be served, but to serve. Amen.